We are so glad to have you joining us today on the Equipped to Lead podcast. I am Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, and today I want to chat through another major health dynamic for your specific ministry or church. We're talking about today specifically worship. Worship being defined as people experiencing God resulting in specific testimonies. You know, there are five major health functions in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 that define whether a church is high-performing or low-performing. Now, let me give a definition to church performing. High-performing is where a church is seeing individual lives transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, discipleship, and secondarily, they are being empowered to influence their world through their calling. A low-performing church is where little transformation happens. People's lives are not changing that much, and there is little influence in terms of the gospel changing the community, the circles of influence that those people have. High performing, people are being transformed and being empowered. Low performing, little transformation and little influence. So what determines whether a church is high performing or low performing? Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 is so helpful because it gives us five healthy church functions that if we can get those going on, if we can understand them and develop them in the culture of where God has called us to serve, then everything changes. We move from low performing to high performing. Individual people are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the influence of those people becomes remarkable in the community and the world. Here they are in just a brief overview. We've chatted about these before in previous podcasts, but we define the five healthy church functions through the acronym FLOWS. It just helps me remember. Let me give them to you. F stands for fellowshipping, and it's a place where people feel like this is home. The other one, next one rather, is learning. It's a place where truth is being practically taught and experienced. Outreach, it's a place where transformation is happening through the ministry of people in their community. It's a place that is transforming literally their community and beyond. Worship, that's what we're going to talk about today. It's a place where people are experiencing God resulting in specific testimonies. The next one following this will be S of FLOWS, the last letter. It stands for serving, and it's a place where people are finding, developing, and fulfilling their destiny in Christ. Hey, let's jump back to worshiping. A place where people are experiencing God resulting in specific testimonies. Jesus said it so clearly, didn't he? In John 4, 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Without question, the ideas of authenticity and experiential change are a part of worshiping him in spirit and truth. As a pastor, and I've served as a long-term pastor, I'm very interested in measuring to measure the worship component of what is going on in our church. And to define that, let me go back to the definition that I use. It's a place where people are experiencing God resulting in specific testimonies. There are many testimonies that I'm looking for, but generally, if I identify just a handful, I'm really interested in people giving their hearts to Christ, salvation. That's a definitive testimony. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, a definitive testimony. feeling called to a specific destiny, ministry, and appointed time. That is a testimony. Being water baptized, that is a specific testimony that they give. Joining the church where they say, God has called me to be a part of this local church, that is part of worship to me. Again, the definition that I'm using for worship is a place where people are experiencing God, resulting in specific testimonies. What I talked about on taking a look at, and you can look at those quantitatively, how many people are being saved, how many people are being water baptized, how many folks are being filled with the Holy Spirit, how many folks are joining the church. There's many others that you can look at, but you can measure those because a testimony is something that they are sharing that happened to them. And they're sharing about a specific event, a happening in their life that is quite definable. Salvation, filled with the Spirit, water baptized, joining. But I want to talk to you about what it is that a church is experiencing qualitatively. What do you feel in a church where people are really experiencing God? Let me tell you, it is this. It is always a place of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. It's the Matthew 11 emphasis of Jesus's ministry where he said, come unto me, everybody who is just weighted down. And he said, you're going to find that I am meek and lowly. You'll find rest for your lives. You'll learn to take my yoke upon you, and you will experience a freedom that comes. What do people feel qualitatively in a church that is really experiencing God? People that are testifying regularly about being saved, filled with the Spirit, water baptized, called into ministry. They're joining the church. All of those specific testimonies that thrill our hearts as pastors and ministry leaders, you can call it this. It's a place of second chances, third chances, and fourth chances. It's a place where a culture is set that people know that they can start again. It's where they know that when they bring their friends and family, that it is a place that will offer a message of grace where people can start again. There was a book that became a hit in church circles, and especially with pastors. The book is entitled, hey, and you'll see where I got my love, acceptance, and forgiveness saying here. The book by Jerry Cook is titled Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. In the book, Jerry talks about the minimal guarantee. Now I'm quoting him. The minimal guarantee we must make to people is that they will be loved always under every circumstance with no exception. Matter of fact, in Jerry's church, they called it, and it was the people were making fun of the church, they called it the garbage church. They said, boy, I tell you, just anybody can go there. And Jerry didn't see that as a pejorative. He saw that as a moniker of distinction and honor. Hey, this is a place where grace is experienced, second chances, third chances, fourth chances. It's a place to start again. I love the name that some churches go by, Second Chance Church. It's a great message. One of the stories that Jerry Cook shares in the book is about a pastor who had fallen into adultery. It's a terrible story in ministry. It's exactly what we never want the world to see. There was a pastor across town from Pastor Jerry, and that other pastor, very large church. Matter of fact, both Jerry's church and this other guy's church were both very large. And the other pastor across town, he began having a relationship with his secretary. He divorced his wife. He married the secretary. The church fell apart. There were people scattered throughout that city in Oregon years ago. And those people scattered throughout the city, and many of those people had come to be a part of Jerry's church. And about a year and a half later, after that particular church had blown up because of the adultery of the pastor, a year and a half later, Jerry Cook, on Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m., his phone rings, he answers, and it's this pastor. And the pastor asked the question. He said, "Jerry," he said, I don't know if you remember me." And Jerry said, "Yes, I remember you, certainly." The former pastor, asked the question. He said, "Would it be okay with you if my wife," and he said, "This is my new wife, you know, I divorced my first wife, I married the secretary. And I'd like to know if I and my new wife can come to church this morning." Jerry just jumped in and said, "Why would you even ask?" And he said, "Well, you know, this again is my second wife and I'm divorced." And Jerry said, "Yeah, I know the story." And that former pastor said this. He said, "We've been trying for 8 months now to find a place to worship. He said, we know that we have blown up our lives. Jerry, I have failed. I failed God. I failed my church. I failed my calling." And he said, "We're trying to find our way back to God." He said, "We have gone to a church recently and we were from the pulpit after we sat down. We were pointed out and asked to leave. We've been met at the door of other churches by pastors who heard that my wife and I were coming, and they asked us not to come in. They said it would cause too much trouble. Still, others heard that we just might show up, and they called in advance and asked us not to come." And this is a quote. He said, "Frankly, I don't think that we could handle it again if we were to come and be an embarrassment to you and be asked to leave. I just don't know what would happen. My wife is close to a nervous breakdown." By that point, this former pastor was weeping on the phone with Pastor Jerry. And that former pastor said, "If you want, you can put us in a room where no one will see us and let us watch the service." He knew that Jerry had an overflow room that was there were folks that couldn't be seated in the regular congregation could take in the service. Jerry said, "Absolutely not. I want you to come." He said, "I'll meet you myself at the door this morning." And Jerry was there, Pastor Jerry, when that former pastor and his new wife of a year and a half walked in. And Jerry went over. He didn't shake his hand. He reached out and he grabbed him and he hugged his neck. And he said that that former pastor, 15 to 20 years older than Jerry, he said he laid his head in my shoulder and cried like a baby. He said he cried like a drowning man. And that former pastor whispered in Jerry's ears, he said, "Can you love me?" He said, I've spent my life trying to serve other people in ministry, but I've made such grievous mistakes. Can you love me?" And in the weeks that followed, Pastor Jerry met with that man along with the elders of his church, and they helped him find his way back to God. And during the meetings, I believe they met with him weekly, that former pastor would literally fall on the floor, grab Jerry's feet, and the elders, and beg their forgiveness. Yeah, I tell that story at times. I want to point out how bad sin is. We need to be reminded of that. Sin promises an awful lot on the front end, but it leaves destruction. Jesus' words, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy," in John 10:10, are so relevant, aren't they? And a church that is experiencing the worship of God in specific and resulting in specific testimonies back to what people feel and what people experience. They're saved. They're filled with the Spirit. They're joining the church. They're water baptized. They're experiencing a specific call from God. What's going on when people are really in a significant way experiencing God, the worship of God, authenticity, truthfulness? What is going on in their lives? I can tell you this, it is God putting them at ease, welcoming them and beginning to work deeply in the specific moment of what they need. That's worship, the experiencing of God resulting in specific testimonies. I ask congregations at times, do you think after I tell the story of Pastor Jerry Cook and this former pastor, I ask the congregants, do you think that that former pastor would have ever come back to God without a Jerry Cook and his church ready to accept him and give him a chance that many people felt like he did not deserve, that former pastor? I don't think so. I think there had to be a church and there had to be a pastor that said, we're a place of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. That doesn't mean there's no accountability. If the world is asking us to lower our standards of accountability to God and holiness, the answer is no. But if the question is can I be restored from an unaccountable life? Then the answer is absolutely yes. And people not need to do more than simply hear that. They need to experience that in the culture of that church. What does a church have going on where the worship of God, where God's intervening in their experiences, their specific testimonies happening? What's going on in that church? I can tell you this. It is a place of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, and I want to encourage you to head over to paultotimothy.com, our website. You'll find a lot of resources there. One specific resource is a free course titled Find and Empower Your Ministry Team. You'll find other things there as well. I welcome you to jump over to the site, take advantage of those resources. So good to be with you today on Equipped to Lead.